You'd like to be financially free, but you just don't know how to make it happen. Well, stay tuned to find out. Hi, I'm Rob West. Knowing and doing are two different things. I'll let you know how to be financially free today, but doing it, that's up to you. And like most things, you have to want to do it. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, first I have to say that you never want to be financially independent from God. He owns everything and He's your provider. But you do want to be financially free to serve God more fully. Now, those who've achieved that know there's one absolute requirement for financial freedom, and that's learning how to live not just within your means, but actually below your means, and to do it for a long time. Certainly, that will require doing certain things, which we'll get into in a bit, but achieving financial freedom actually begins with a mental exercise. You need to change your thinking. Why do most diets fail? It's because they're based on deprivation. As you restrict your calories, you feel deprived, and you can only tolerate that for so long before you plow into a box of donuts. Living on a budget works the same way. If you feel financially deprived, you'll eventually start to overspend again. It's the opposite of contentment. Why might someone feel financially deprived? Well, the Bible gives us several reasons: greed, envy, or covetousness, a lack of faith in God to provide, or any combination of those. But no matter the reason, it makes living on a budget difficult when it should be easy. The solution begins with developing a sense of gratitude for what God has already provided. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Next, you must believe that you can learn to live below your means. It might be a challenge and you'll probably have setbacks, but keep at it, cutting expenses as necessary. Okay, so much for the thinking part. Now it's time to get your hands involved. Here are some tips for staying on budget. First, you must have margin. That's money left over at the end of the month. You no doubt have several fixed bills that come in every month and you pay them without thinking. But start thinking about them. Is there a way to lower your mortgage payment? Maybe by getting rid of PMI. Can you reduce your heating or cooling bill? Maybe get rid of streaming apps you don't use much. Don't take those bills for granted. Sometimes all you have to do is ask. Did you know you can actually negotiate things like medical bills and household repairs? You might say, "Is that the best you can do?" You might get a discount. It certainly doesn't cost you anything to ask. By the way, it's easier to stay on budget if you actually watch what you spend instead of having a lot of stuff happen on autopilot. Download the FaithFi app to set up your budget. It will then track all of your spending and likely reveal things you can easily cut, like those streaming apps I mentioned. That alone could save you a few hundred dollars a year. Now, there's another tried and true way you can avoid feeling deprived by your budget, and that's by rewarding yourself. You want to celebrate small victories along the way to financial freedom. At the end of a successful week of staying on budget, treat the family to ice cream. After you have $1,000 in your emergency fund, maybe go out to dinner. The idea is that it's okay to splurge now and then, just not all the time. The same way, try to spread out your spending for things like having your nails done. Instead of every 4 weeks, can you go every 6 weeks? At $25 a pop, you'll save around $100 a year. If you're paying to keep stuff in one of those you store it places, get rid of it. You can cut that cost and bring in more money by selling it. For most things, if you haven't used it in a year, you probably don't need it. Every little bit helps. Okay, if you do all of those things, you've trimmed your budget as much as possible, and you're still having trouble living below your means, well, you'll need to increase those means. So look for ways to add to your income. Employers are still desperate to find and retain good workers, so maybe it's time to ask for a raise or for more hours, or maybe you can take on a side job. So that's how you can learn to live below your means and start the process of becoming financially free to serve God more fully. We hope you'll let us know how it works out, because we'd love to hear your stories. All right, we're going to take your calls next. The number to call is 800-525-7000. By the way, you can call that 24/7. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
David opens Psalm 14 with a bang. Verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Verse 3, all have turned away. No one is good. No, not one. It's a sobering look at the world. But David wasn't talking about atheism. He was talking about something more sinister, harming others, and thinking the Lord won't do anything about it. They devour my people as if eating bread. Now that's sobering. There's nothing the enemy would like more than to devour us, and sometimes he uses others to do it. But in verse 7, the light pierces the darkness. Let Israel be glad, and we should be glad. The Lord has come, and he has saved us. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
What will take place during the tribulation? Do Christians need to fear it? And what will the Antichrist do during his reign? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress answers those questions and more as he continues his series titled Perfect Ending. Find out what will happen during the end times this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I'm so delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Think about this. You know, we live in the wealthiest nation in the history of the world, yet we're discontent. You know, the U.S. government poverty level, well, we are wealthier than 85% of the world if we're just at the U.S. government poverty level. So why are we so unhappy and discontent? Well, the world wants us to believe that just a little bit more will make us happy. You know, we believe that money brings us security and peace. If so, why are so many, though, discontent with what they have? Here's the reality. The Bible provides the answers and gives us confidence because it never changes. It speaks authoritatively to every financial decision so we can know clearly who owns it, God, what our role is, steward, how money fits into that. Well, it's a tool, and we need to define enough, hold it loosely, give it generously, and pursue the Lord and use money as a tool to accomplish his purposes. When we do that, it will have a ripple effect throughout the rest of your life as it draws you into a more intimate relationship with him. That's our goal on this program, to be hopeful and encouraging, to take you back to God's Word, to see how we can address today today's financial decisions, but do it through the lens of a biblical worldview. What are you thinking about today financially? Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. I've got some lines open, perhaps one of those just for you. Again, 800-525-7000. We'll be tackling your questions today. Also, Riley Wildman will join us a little later in the broadcast. She's the director of the American Family Association. We'll talk about, director of the American Family Foundation. We'll talk about the AFA Foundation, what it is, and specifically, what are charitable gift annuities? A great way for you to think about leaving a lasting legacy to the American Family Association, providing you much-needed income in retirement, and even some of the ways you can fund a charitable gift annuity. All of that coming up a little later in the broadcast. Again, phone lines open for your calls today as well, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about today. We'll also tackle a couple of your emails today. We receive emails every day at askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com. You're welcome to send those along. In fact, let's tackle one of those right now. This first one comes from Bob. He says, I know it's better to wait as long as possible to take Social Security, but what if I took it early and invested the money until I actually retire? What are the biblical, moral, and even ethical considerations? Bob, this is a great question. I would say there really is no biblical or moral restraint on taking Social Security at any age that you're eligible to receive those benefits. As to investing early benefits, interestingly, a new study from the Journal of Financial Planning says you're better off in the long run if you wait to take those benefits. While you might expect as much as, let's say, a 10% return over time on money invested in an index fund, few people will actually put all of their early Social Security benefits in the market. Simply put, the greater benefits you'll receive by waiting will likely outpace the gains you'll make by investing early benefits. Social Security benefits are also pegged to inflation, making an even stronger case for waiting as long as possible before taking benefits. That guaranteed increase by waiting of 8% per year, you're certainly not going to get any guarantees in the market. So that's why I like the idea of waiting. Just to give you some numbers to think about, if you were to wait until age 70 versus taking your benefit at full retirement age, and you got those 3 years of guaranteed increases of 8% a year, total of 24%, let's say, in the form of a higher check at age 70, it would take you about 12 years from age 70, so we're talking 82 or so, for you to be paid back in the form of that higher check, that additional amount you're getting every month. It would take about 12 years for you to get paid back on what you gave up. But then from that point forward, you'd enjoy that significantly higher check, 24% or so, for the rest of your life. So there is a case to be made on waiting until at least full retirement age, and if you can do it, until age 70 to get that check up, so you've got that higher check of guaranteed income. But certainly something that you've got to look at. Every situation is different, but I hope that helps. Bob, thanks for writing to us again. If you have a question for us, send it along to askrob@faithfi.com. All right, let's head to the phones. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. We'll begin today in Georgia. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Yes, I have a question about possibly taking my Social Security early, like at age 64. I would be getting I would be coming in as a beneficiary of my husband's, I guess, Social Security, so I would get half of what he would make.
Okay.
And so it's not according to them, it's not a big difference. It's about, I would start in August. I'd be 64, and I don't know what details you want me to give. I call them, and they gave me some figures.
So, very good. Let me just ask this, Lee. So you have the option to take your spousal benefit based on your husband's record and get up to 50% of his, depending on whether you wait to full retirement age or not. You also have the ability to switch to a benefit based on your own work record. Do you have enough credits to actually receive benefits on your own work record, either now or in the future?
I do, but I would make more on his.
Okay. All right. So a lot of times what folks will use as a strategy is you'd start taking that spousal benefit, let yours continue to grow, and then at some point switch. But if the case is your husband made more and therefore, his will always be larger, then it's really just a matter of, okay, what's the right timing to take that? And would I be better served to go ahead and take it now and, take that small haircut, if you will, on that monthly benefit for the rest of your life? Or can I find a way to wait because I'd enjoy getting that higher check every month? And that really comes down to how badly you need the money right now. And would that really make a difference in you either being able to stop working or just to balance your budget? And if so, there's a strong case just to go ahead and do it. Because as you said, it's not a significant sum of money. And yet, $200 every month for the rest of your life is not insignificant. That's, $2,400 a year additional, if I understood you correctly on the math, that you would have. And that obviously adds up over time. And if you're in good health and the Lord tarries, that's a lot of money over the rest of your life for a couple of years of you delaying that. So in terms of where you're at financially right now, how important is it for you to start collecting at this point?
We're okay right now. I think the thing that our house is paid off and, he does get some other things he doesn't make a ton. It was almost even, but the thing that most concerned me was if something later happened and I did need to go back to work full time, would I be terribly penalized? But they said, well, you could just freeze it at that point and you wouldn't make more, but you could earn more till you did take it. Is that right?
Well, a couple of things there. So anytime you're working before full retirement age, there is a limit on your work, the amount of income that you can receive. And if you go over that income limit, your benefit is reduced $1 for every $2 you go over it. That will eventually be made up to you after you reach full retirement age in the form of a higher check. There is, though, the ability to add more to it by working, and you hold the line. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show beginning April 24th on AFR.net. I'll serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. The podcast begins April 24th on AFR.net, and I can hardly wait. See you there.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org. Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Lee about spousal benefits for Social Security. And Lee, as we were talking about, you have the ability to collect up to 50% of your husband's normal benefit. That is his full retirement age benefit, regardless of whether he takes it at that age or not. Whether or not you get the full 50% is going to have to do with when you take it. And if you take it early, you'll lose about 8% per year of that benefit below what you would have been receiving for every year you take it early. But again, the maximum you can get is 50%. You do have an income limit, a cap, if you will. This year, it's $21,240. If you go above that in wages and earnings, you would have a dollar for every $2 withheld from that, for every $2 you go above the limit, but that would be returned to you. So really the key is, you know, the only way you're going to get that up is by continuing to wait until full retirement age to take that. And that really is going to come down to just how important it is it to begin receiving it. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. I think
okay.
So.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards doing it. So because we are okay and the time seems sort of precious right now, and to make $21,000 would be great, you know, extra. Mm-hmm. I work now, but I don't make that much.
Okay.
It's more like just much less.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you could just go ahead and sock that away. You guys could use that to travel or enjoy, you know, whatever purpose you have for it. But I think that's what it comes down to. It's really a personal decision on, well, I'd really like to have that little bit extra per month that might solve a gap that we think we're going to have. Or if not, no, I'm going to go ahead and start collecting it. So I know I've got it. I can use it as needed. We can enjoy these precious years. But you guys pray through that. I'm sure you'll make the right decision. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Mississippi. Hi, Reed. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call and for all that you do.
Well, thank you.
Question for you. I have a family member who has taken out a substantial amount of debt through payday lenders. Interest rates range from mid-20s up to 44%, around $20,000 total, maybe a little more than that. And ultimately, the question is two-part. Number one, I'll likely have to co-sign with him to get some type of consolidation loan, which I'm willing to do if that is necessary to help him out of this trouble. But secondarily, I don't know legally if my relative was in a mental capacity at the time that these payday loans were taken out to transact business, to sign these contracts. So I'm trying to find out before doing any consolidation if these are actually even binding loans.
It's a great question. I appreciate you walking alongside him. I think the challenge is, whether or not there would be any recourse there with regard to his mental facilities, and certainly that would be a matter you could explore. I think just from a financial standpoint, obviously I realize this is a tough situation. These payday lenders are the scourge of the financial world. The interest they charge is unconscionable, yet somehow legal. You know, when we transitioned from usury to Truth in Lending, that basically said as long as you disclose what the interest rate is, you can charge whatever you want. And it's just hurt a lot of folks, and these are payday lenders and loans you should avoid at all costs. And I realize in his situation, especially if there's a challenge there with his mental faculties, that may have played into this. The best thing you can do is obviously walk alongside him, help him set up a budget, try to get out from under this, establish an emergency fund and a balanced budget such that he could avoid ever doing this again. He can ask for what's called an extended payment plan. Many states actually require payday lenders to offer them, and basically they allow for repayment of a loan over an extended period of time. Now, it's just a few extra weeks, up to 4 weeks, but that may make the difference. You know, the Bible's really clear read on not co-signing. I mean, whereas, you know, a lot of matters, especially related to finance, are left to personal conviction, that one's pretty clear. Just don't do it. And the data from the Federal Trade Commission, of course, backs that up in that, you know, in about 50% of cases, when you're co-signing for someone, you're going to end up having to step in and make the payment or your credit will be trashed just because the very reason that led to you needing to co-sign in the first place means there's a pretty high likelihood that something's going to go wrong and they're not going to be able to pay on time. And, you know, money issues are hard issues. They also, when you're in a lender borrower relationship, the Bible calls that a master-slave relationship. So it changes the relationship. And therefore, despite somebody's best efforts, if you're now having to step in and make the payments, not only is there a financial consequence for you, but there could be relational damage. Now, you may go into this saying, no, I'm ready, willing, and able to step in and make the payments as needed. I understand that going in. Well, you know, then you're doing it for a different reason. But I would perhaps make the case, what if, you know, you just agree to match every payment he's making to try to get him out of this? Now, if he can't happen fast enough and you want to get out from under that ridiculously high interest rate, and I can understand why you would, and you want to take out a new loan to do that, and you co-sign with him, again, knowing full well you're a party to it, you're expecting to participate in it, to help him get out from under it, well, then I think that's a different situation. But I think the bigger idea is let's try the best you can. And I realize his health conditions play into this, but let's try to not treat the symptoms, which is, you know, this payday loan is symptomatic of him living beyond his means. And the next step is for you all to work on a spending plan and a little bit of a cushion that's going to get him turned around and headed in the right direction so we don't ever get back in this situation again. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. And it sounds like you don't think there's much hope of finding a legal solution to possibly not having the mental capacity to enter into these contracts.
I don't, unfortunately. I've got to hit a break. Let's talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices every day. Looking to Scripture, the counsel of God, to see how we live out our role as stewards or managers of God's resources. You know, one of the ways to manage God's resources well is to think about not only how we'll receive income during our retirement season as God's calling perhaps changes on our life and we're redirected away from paid work, but also how we can bless those ministries that God has placed on our hearts. As we look at the big themes of Scripture, we're seeing that we should give to the ministry of God's Word and the ministry of God's justice, but we should also support those ministries that are reaching people in the name of Jesus, like the American Family Association and American Family Radio. And I'm delighted to be joined during this segment of the broadcast by Riley Wildman. She's the director of the AFA Foundation, and we're going to be talking about a particular vehicle that I'm really excited for you to know more about. Riley, great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. Hey, give us just a thumbnail sketch of the AFA Foundation. You know, we know and our listeners know about the great work that AFA is doing through AFR and The Stand and AFA Action and so many other ministries, but perhaps they don't know about the foundation. What is its role?
Yes, Rob, you're exactly right. There are several divisions that make up American Family Association, American Family Radio, and one of the divisions is the AFA Foundation. It's kind of been in existence since about the year 2008, where our former employer, Dan Celia, had passed away about 2 years ago, and yeah, he had kind of taken off that in 2008. And the foundation is a financial stewardship division of AFA, and it exists to help individuals and families leave a legacy, Rob, that will last for generations. And one of those ways is through a charitable gift annuity, as well as bequests and wills. And so the foundation, like I said, took off around 2008, and it's just been going strong and plugging along, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Well, I know you are, and we have so many listeners that just Dan Celia meant so much to them, and we're delighted to be able to put a spotlight on some of the work, the legacy that he's left, and even helping to found the AFA Foundation. But I'm thrilled for them to know, our listeners to know, about how they can be a steward of God's resources beyond their lives through thinking about their legacy. And you mentioned this tool that we want to talk about today, the charitable gift annuity that can provide income for the rest of their lives, but also allow them to bless a ministry like AFA. So give us just an overview of what a CGA is.
Yes, so it's just a simple contract between American Family Association and the individual. And you can have up to two people, Rob, on the charitable gift annuity. So it can be a single life or it can be a joint life. Okay. And how that works is they just give a gift, a lump sum to the ministry. The minimum amount to fund the gift annuity, Rob, is $2,000, or anything above that. So anything above that that they can gift is a income. And once they give that gift, it is an income coming back to them as the individual for the rest of their life. Yeah. And when they pass away, anything left over is a gift back to the ministry. So that's just a great, it's a great tool and a great way for someone to give a gift to AFA and AFR, but in return, they receive income and a partial tax deduction off of that. And then when they pass away, anything left over, like I said, goes back to AFA to continue on our mission here at American Family Association.
Oh, I love it. You know, it's a really powerful tool. We talk about annuities a lot here on the show, and I often say that annuities are not my favorite vehicle, but I want to make it clear that there's really an exception in my mind for these charitable gift annuities. It's a really powerful way for you to take assets that God has entrusted to you. Maybe he's blessed you. And to Riley's point, this isn't for only folks that have hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. You can start with as little as $2,000, but it's a great way to take what God has entrusted to you, convert that to an income stream, which is often what retirees are looking for, but also know that at your death, either your death or the death of you and a loved one, a spouse, you're then already determining how that money is going to be used to further the kingdom, to build up the family, and to share the gospel through the American Family Association. So it's a powerful tool that I really want you to know about. And Riley, obviously your team can help them understand what that income will be based on their life expectancy, their age, and the amount of money they're putting in, right?
That is exactly right, Rob. And the ways that they can also gift to fund the charitable gift annuity is just as simple as cash, a credit card. But a lot of people don't realize we also take stock on a monthly basis. There's people that gift us stock, whether they use that for a charitable gift annuity or sometimes they call and just outright gift us stock and leave AFA as a donation to the ministry in the way of stock. So that's another great way to fund a charitable gift annuity, but also just give a gift to the ministry as an outright gift.
Yeah, that's awesome. Riley, as you work with so many individuals and families who are setting up these charitable gift annuities, give us a sense just of maybe the enthusiasm, the excitement of these folks when they find out that this tool exists, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners and those you're working with didn't even know what CGAs were, right?
Right. There's a lot of people out there that don't even know what a charitable gift annuity is, and it's a great tool to leave a legacy to American Family Association for generations to come, for the future generations.
Yes.
So, and they're welcome to, you know, visit our website, Rob, at afafoundation.net. Again, that's afafoundation.net. They can visit our website, and they can run an illustration on our website to see how much they would get. And they can also give us a call at any time, and we'll be happy to run an illustration over the phone.
Yeah, very good. And I know, Riley, you all will work with their financial advisors as well. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. That is correct. If they want to give us a call, we'll be happy to walk through that and see if that is the best situation for them. A lot of times it is a great situation for them, and sometimes it isn't. So we'll be happy to walk through that with them as well.
Great. And I'm glad you mentioned that obviously this can come into the annuity in the form of cash. It also could be stocks. Riley, it also could even be property, right?
Yes, sir. It could be property as well.
Excellent. Well, the team at the AFA Foundation is ready to work with you. If you want to make a gift to further the mission of the American Family Association, of course you can make that gift through your will or trust. You can always make a gift immediately. I like to say, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And so perhaps you think about a gift right now. But we also need to think about that last stewardship decision that we'll make, which is, how will we transfer what God has entrusted to us when he calls us home to those places we want it to go? And what a great opportunity, either through a will or a trust, or, as Riley's been talking about today, a charitable gift annuity. It's a phenomenal tool. We've got just a few seconds left. Riley, again, where can they go to get more information?
Yes, go to afafoundation.net. Again, that's okay. afafoundation.net, or they can call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Awesome. Riley, thanks for stopping by. Folks, we'll be right back with much more. Stay with us.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this, and that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school, or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Well, here in our last segment, we'd love to take your calls and questions on anything financial. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, great to have Riley Wildman, director of the AFA Foundation, on with us. If you missed that website and you want to learn more about the AFA Foundation, you can make a bequest through your will or trust, or learn more about a charitable gift annuity. Just head to afafoundation.net. All right, back to the phones. We go to Arkansas. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello. My husband and I have our wills made out to for everything to go to the mission fund of our church if we are both gone. And I'm wondering if we also put the mission fund of our church as a beneficiary on our CDs. I know that avoids probate and is more immediate. The church could get the money immediately. I'm wondering, does it lessen the amount of money lost in the expense of probate by lessening the value of our estate?
Yeah, it would be minimal in terms of the benefit. The main benefit is just the fact that it wouldn't go through probate, which can delay it. If the charity is named as a beneficiary of the CD, then it's just going to pass directly to the charity. It's not going to be delayed through the probate process. It just makes it a little simpler and a little quicker for you to do it that way. And so if you know that's where you ultimately want this to go, I would go ahead and name the charity as a beneficiary on the CD for that reason. Yes, because the expenses of the probate process have to do with the total estate, there could be some impact there, but it won't be significant. So, but I like that idea. And I think if you've made that decision, going ahead and naming the charity would be a great idea. And you can always change it. You know, you can elect to update and change your beneficiary designation at any time.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for calling today and for listening to the program. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got time for a few more questions today. By the way, Faith and Finance is listener supported. So let me take just a moment and remind you that if you're a part of the FaithFi community, you listen to this show regularly, you appreciate the insights you've gleaned, or maybe you've just been encouraged on this program from God's Word and you'd like to support our work, well, we'd certainly appreciate it, especially as we head toward our own fiscal year end here at the ministry. Your tax-deductible gift to FaithFi can be done at our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. You'll find a way to give online securely. You can get our mailing address to send a gift through the mail, or even a toll-free number for you to contact someone on our team to make a gift over the phone. Again, we'd appreciate it. Faithfi.com. Just click Give. Thanks in advance. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question today. Let's tackle another email. These come into us every day at Ask Rob at faithfi.com. William writes to us, I'm 69 years old and my wife is 68. How can I determine the wisdom of converting our IRA money to a Roth? It's money that we probably will never need. We live in Pennsylvania, so retirement income is not taxable at the state level. Thank you. Here's the reality. The question I would ask is, are you likely to have greater income now or in the future? Generally, that's the yardstick for measuring whether to invest in a traditional IRA or a Roth. If you think your income will be greater in the years ahead, it makes sense perhaps to convert your traditional IRA to a Roth and pay taxes on that money now. You want to do it in increments. That won't boost you into a higher tax bracket with a portion of it. Generally, the Roth is most powerful, though, William, when you have a long time to take advantage of that tax-free growth. So you all paying that big tax bite now, you know, won't pay off as much as if, you know, you did this 20 years ago or 30 years ago where you got, you know, that significant compounding effect. The only caveat to that would be if we think tax rates are headed higher. Clearly, you know, they are, if nothing changes, because the tax cuts that President Trump put in place will expire in 2025. And, you know, we obviously don't know where we're headed in terms of the presidency and Congress. We would expect probably not to see taxes go much lower. And the likelihood would be that they're going higher. I hope that's not the case. I don't think that's good for our country and for our economy. But I think directionally, we see that that is likely to be the case. If that was your thinking, though, then obviously paying that current tax rate and enjoying that tax-free growth so you don't have to pay federal taxes on it when you pull it out down the road would be a good idea. I think the only other situation here is you're saying we don't think we'll need this money. So one of the other benefits to the Roth is this money will be you won't have to take it out for a required minimum distribution in the Roth. And so you could arguably leave it there well beyond age 75, which is what the new RMD will be a few years from now based on the Secure Act 2.0. And so you wouldn't have to start pulling that money out that you may not need. So that would be the only other consideration. So obviously a lot of factors here, William. Perhaps you check with your advisor, but I think generally speaking, converting to a Roth at age 70 is typically not what I advise for the reasons that I mentioned. Thanks for writing to us today. By the way, folks, if you have a question you'd like read on the air, feel free to send it along to us. We'd love to hear from you. Ask Rob at faithfi.com. You know, folks, as we think about our role in managing God's money, we always want to go back to Scripture and renew our minds with how we should approach every facet of our lives. That certainly includes our finances. And if you think about it, you know, think about the picture of an iceberg, 10% above the waterline, 90% below. We need to start with that biblical worldview, which informs the why of financial decision-making. You know, often we rush to the how. What are the decisions we need to make today and next week? And, I got to file my tax returns. But often we fail to step back and say, why are we making this decision? What does God's word say? How can money draw me closer to the Lord? How can it be used as a tool in my faith walk, but also as I meet the needs of others and create memories with my family? And, starting with the why and the worldview is so important because that informs the how. Our behaviors are a function of what we believe. So we need to be constantly renewing our minds around God's perspective of handling money so we can counteract the messages of this world. All right, we've got a few minutes left in the broadcast. Let's get through as many questions as we can. Let's head to Kentucky. Mark, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, sir. Whereas it is a glorious day in the kingdom, here in the ghetto, planet Earth, or flat Earth. So my question, sir, is this. I am very concerned about the imminent collapse of the dollar and funds that I have tied up, pre-tax dollars that I've put into accounts to preserve and grow for the future, feeling very compelled to translate, convert that into or go with a firm that would have those dollars backed by, say, precious metal.
Yeah.
I know there's different forms of that. Some are advertised as being such, but in reality, they're not actually physical. I know, for example, one company that I talked with, the representatives at a Reawaken America conference, Beverly Hills Precious Metals, I think they're called. They talked about this in that they have the physical gold that or precious metal that corresponds to the dollar value that you would have. And if you called them on that, you could get that physical material sent to you, as opposed to the dollars that are just going to vaporize if we go into hyperinflation and that kind of thing. Can you talk about that at all and your ideas, thoughts on that? And so I don't forget, there's something that happened was on govictory.com Flashpoint. It's a news program that comes on twice a week. Talked about legislation in Texas where they're going to potentially be able to produce coins, precious metal coins, and as a way to go against the universal global ideas of central monetary and all that, instead bring it down to the states being able to actually produce coins of their own and use that, kind of like what some of the countries are doing. They're going back to their own currency as opposed to, because the dollar's kind of failing with
I'm about out of time, let me just give you some quick thoughts here. I appreciate what you shared, Mark, and maybe we can have you back on at some point in the future and unpack a lot of the pieces and parts you brought up here in the future. But just quickly, are we on the wrong trajectory here in the United States with regard to our debt, our spending? Obviously, a lot of the decisions that are being made at the federal level and state level, absolutely. Is the dollar imminent in terms of collapse, being replaced as the world's reserve reserve currency? No, there's not anything close to it that could take its place. Could that happen down the road? Could we have a default? Yes, absolutely. But that's a pretty far, that's pretty good ways off in my view. So I still think the very best way for you to have your wealth grow to overcome the effects of inflation is a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. If we thought a default was imminent, or we were going to lose the world's reserve status, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon, that might be different. I don't think that's the case today. In terms of gold, I would look at either physical possession of the gold coins or silver coins, or a tracking ETF that's going to track the underlying price of the precious metal. Unfortunately, that's all I've got time for today, but we do appreciate you calling. And again, hopefully we can talk more about these topics on a future broadcast. Folks, thanks for being here today. So thankful for Robert, Devin, and Pat. Couldn't do it without them. You have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us next time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.